Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sometimes I think it's impossible to cram everything into a four-hour show, and I get a little stressed about it, and then I realize it's okay. It's aight. We'll get to what we get to, and then we'll come back tomorrow, and we'll do some more. So, for instance, we probably won't get to a whole lot of, say, what happened in Major League Baseball over the last several days, though there are a couple of big moments on each end of the spectrum that I want to make sure I mention. Probably won't get to too much of the U.S. Olympic trials, but do you know we're closing in on the start of the Tokyo Games? And so, regardless of whether people think they should go forward, they shouldn't, they are. And there probably won't be the same number of athletes, or there'll be some that are opting out and choosing not to go. But I'm pretty excited. I feel as though the Olympics, not only will they give me a hope and a jolt of excitement and energy, but another massive step forward, not just in the sports world, but really internationally, globally, to getting back to our familiar rhythms. And I really can't wait to watch. Among all of the Olympic sports, the swimming and the track and field are two of my favorites. And so I can't wait to see some of the greatest. They've had to wait a year. We've had to wait a year. I believe it can be done safely. And whether or not there are full capacity crowds, I don't even know how it's going to look, how it's going to sound. But I'm glad that there are a lot of athletes wearing the red, white, and blue that will have the chance to realize their dreams in Tokyo, and that's not going to be taken away from them permanently. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, rocket can. I had this rhetorical question pop into my brain over the weekend. No need to at me or to even try to answer because I don't think there is an answer. I suppose we could count, but that wasn't really the point of the question. What takes longer, though? Bryson DeChambeau addressing a golf ball or Giannis Antetokounmpo at the free throw line preparing to take a free throw? I kind of wondered. It feels like both of them take extreme care with the prep and the lead up and that same rhythm and movement. And so, yeah, it was kind of funny to watch the two of them over the weekend. Ultimately, it's Jon Rahm who wins the U.S. Open on Father's Day, his first as a dad. And it was cool to see Trae Young give his game jersey to his dad, who was there in Philadelphia. So a lot of amazing father-son, father-daughter moments, and a lot of athletes remembering their dads, those that are no longer with us. And I always say sports is a microcosm of real life, of kind of the rest of our lives. And you could see a lot of that Father's Day reflected in what we were watching on the field, the court, the ice over the weekend. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I don't think we need to debate whether or not the Philadelphia process was a complete and utter failure in 20 and 21, because that one to me seems fairly obvious. But was the Nets season a failure? They waited through the injuries of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving last year. Well, and Kyrie opted out of the bubble anyway, but he was injured for a good portion of last season. You know the story. In the regular season, they only played 8 games together. We know James Harden was really frustrated with the hamstring, and it plagued him at different times during the year. Kyrie with the sprained ankle, but how many times did he opt not to play this season? I don't know how anyone would ever describe him as reliable. Once Kevin Durant finally came back, what was it, 5 weeks that he was out in the regular season? Once he finally came back, he was tremendous. And I'm glad for his sake and for ours that we got to see him play again on this postseason stage. Reportedly, he is also committed to the Olympics. Doesn't want to be done playing hoops yet. But would you consider this season to be a failure or just the start of the experiment? And next year, if the Nets don't capitalize, well, then it's a failure. Again, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Eric, who's in Georgia. Eric, what do you think?
Hey, thank you for taking my call first off from Amy, and hope you're having a great night. I don't think the Nets are having a failed season such as the 76ers did. It's just unfortunate for them being as injured as they were, and it happens. I think the Bucks and the Hawks are going to be a great game, honestly, to watch, and I look forward to that series.
I hope that is the case. I mean, I hope that people will tune in, regardless of the fact that it's a Milwaukee-Atlanta, and I definitely believe that even though it's not the teams that a lot of people expected, that we could still get some great star power and some real grit. The Bucks can play strong, real strong defense, and they obviously have an inside presence that few teams in the NBA can counter, while the Hawks, they play a little more small ball and also have sharpshooters for days. So we've got full arenas in both those places. It should be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's going to still be the Hawks, however. They'll win that and go to the finals. I think it's going to be Phoenix and Atlanta.
All right. Well, we will see. Either way this plays out for either team in the East or the West, it's going to be great vindication. And we've obviously got a couple of teams that have never won a championship before. So pretty sweet. All right, Eric, thanks so much for your phone call in Georgia. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Tony is in Washington, D.C. Tony, what do you think?
I'll talk about the Bucks. After Irving went down, I know the Bucks, they get all high and mighty, but they had the best 3 players after Durant. So they did what they were supposed to do. Now, if they would have beat them with the big 3, then I could see them celebrating. But when you got 3 all-stars against 1, you're supposed to win that. that series.
Except, so, you know, they didn't in game five, right? I mean, that's the point, is that they saw the Nets come back in back-to-back games, and in game five specifically, they got punched in the mouth on their own court. So I believe that considering the way they folded at the end of game five, that for them to show me something in game six and seven, winning game seven on the road, you know that game sevens in NBA history are won by the home team nearly 80% of the time, but neither home team won this weekend. I mean, it's a big deal. And James Harden was playing. He nearly had a triple-double on Saturday night. So he was playing. He was out there. They felt like he was still a better option than to, you know, replace him with somebody else. So I don't know. I don't think we should overlook what Milwaukee accomplished, because Brooklyn was still the 2 seed. They still had home court advantage. And in multiple games, the Bucks had to withstand the best that Kevin Durant could offer.
Okay, but in basketball, more than any other sport, most time your best players are going to win the game no matter where you're at. It doesn't matter. James Harden, he was out there, but he wasn't out there. He was more of a liability. He, just like the last shot, I think Durant took that last three because he was out of gas. He gave the ball to Harden. Harden gave the ball back. So, and then another thing, no one is, I think Steve Nash deserved to get some of this blame for his players getting played in the playoffs, because you at home, you supposed to play your role players a little bit more than when he played Green and Shepard, especially when Joe Harris is not hitting nothing. He was another liability out there because he wasn't doing nothing on defense and he wasn't hitting shots. So at home, your role players play better. He knew Durant and Harden was worn out. You gotta give your role players some court action at home.
Not if you're pulling KD and James Harden off the court, you don't.
No. I ain't talking about pulling KD. I'm talking about pulling Bruce Bowen and Joe Harris. And Joe Harris ain't gave you nothing the whole series.
Joe Harris is still one of the best 3-point shooters in the NBA. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but at this point in a game seven, you dance with the guys that brung you. And Harris is, because he's a shooter, he's a sharpshooter, he's always a threat. You're right. He played horribly, especially in the second half of the series when he had some big shots, but he is still, over his career, one of the NBA's most consistent 3-point shooters.
Okay. I just got one more point there. I'm gonna let you go. But as far as Joe Harris, that's regular season. This is playoff. A player to play a lot better in regular season, but when it comes to that playoff crunch time, they shrink at the moment. And I just want to know
not
what you
all
think.
Of them.
Not all of them, but I'm talking about. But why didn't Steve Nash consider playing DeAndre Jordan just for his size on Giannis? Because even when Giannis couldn't get to the rim, he was just shooting over them. DeAndre Jordan gave some rebounds, some fouls, and would have probably made it a little difficult for him to shoot over. I just didn't understand why he didn't play him any minutes in this series.
Well, because he's a liability on the other end, number one. Number two, he's not a guy who can move, right? So how many times does Giannis pop out to the perimeter? How many times would you see Brooke Lopez do the same thing? And so DeAndre Jordan, I don't want to call him a stiff, that's not fair, but he is not a guy who can move around as well, and I think they would have exposed him because of the number of times that you see those big men pull out on the perimeter. Now, I'm with you. Giannis is much better when he's attacking the rim. But still, I feel like the advantage would probably be negated by DJ on the other end.
But you got shooters. You don't really need him to score. But I would want Giannis to shoot a jumper, then keep going to the rim.
I don't know that he could keep up with him. I mean, Giannis is, as much as people want to rip apart his game, he's got pretty explosive moves to the hoop. You can't just park DeAndre Jordan in the paint and let him sit there.
But you got to try something. You got to try to get some rebounds, because they was killing him on the board, because they was too small. Like I said, you don't need DeAndre. Just like when Lou put in Cousins, just to see what would happen. You got to see what would happen. You can't play seven guys six games and then play seven guys in the final game. You know, the guys, they worn out. He didn't use his bench right. That's seven game. And you
all right,
at home.
Tony. All right, Tony. I appreciate your passionate response. Thank you so much for the phone call. Let's get to Mike, who's in Miami. Welcome to After Hours.
Yes, how you doing? I want to talk about the Nets and a couple other playoff series. Yeah, to me, right, it is a failure because you got to take into account the injury history, and it was basically Durant and Kyrie, especially Kyrie, could never stay healthy. So you have to do a better cast, a cast at the deadline, picking up some better role players. Joe Harris obviously was a disappointment, but it was a championship title or a bust for them. If you're the Bucks, you take care of a wounded animal, and they escaped by the skin of their teeth. They looked like Durant won it there at the end. Luckily, he had a big toe in his shoe. But to me, you can make the argument it's equally as big a disappointment for the Sixers. They changed out the coach because supposedly Doc Rivers is an upgrade. They added Seth Curry. They added a guy like Maxey. So he made some major changes there. You shipped out Al Horford, and still I think they can, they're as equal as the Nets. To me, Doc Rivers is a fraud. He's known as a great coach, but he's not. His track record, you know, from L.A. to ever since he's living off the title, that one title in 08 when, you know, they added KG and they won the title. But, I mean, the numbers are the numbers. He failed in L.A. They shipped him out of town. He got the Sixer job because, like I said, he was an upgrade over Brett Brown. And still the same thing. His rotations are horrendous. The execution by the team down the stretch. You have the number one seed. You're at home. You're paying an inferior young team who's never been there, and still nothing. And Ben Simmons is just in his own head. And I don't know, what do you make of Doc Rivers? Because I don't think he's a good coach. I think he's living off the name of that one title. And if you're the ownership of the Sixers, how do you look at this guy and keep him as your coach? I look at a guy like Stan Van Gundy. He got 1 year in New Orleans with a team that's not even expected to compete, and they fired him. If I'm the ownership of the Sixers, I'm looking at everything with the number one seed in place. The way you blew this series, Doc Rivers should be in the hot seat. What is your opinion on that?
I mean, I'm not. It's a strange phenomenon. I will give you that. I don't think Doc Rivers is a bad coach. You rack up a lot of wins during the regular season. That should count for something. They were a top seed. That should count for something. And as much as I do believe that ultimately the buck stops with the coach, I mean, how all of a sudden does Ben Simmons fall off the map, right? I mean, how is that Doc Rivers' fault? And so some of it definitely falls on the coach. I don't know that they should be quick to make a change, though. You've already got 7 head coaching openings in the NBA. So part of that is, who are you going to find that's an upgrade? Are you really going to go for your third coach in 3 seasons and think that that's going to make your team better? So I don't know. I don't believe that they should be quick to rush to judgment. I do think he brings credibility. I think the guys listen to him. I'm not with you on the fact that he's a fraud. I mean, he's got a lot of victories and a lot of mileage. Plus, he was an NBA point guard himself. And so I think he does bring a lot to the table. Yes, it's crazy about all these consecutive Game 7 losses, but the players should bear some responsibility too. And the way that the Sixers stars, the way that they completely shrunk in the late stages of these games, I don't think you can blame Doc Rivers for them coughing up a 26-point lead in Game 5. I mean, there's only so much a coach can say. These are grown men who have to take care of their business and have not. But I will give you that it's a disturbing trend, for sure.
I just look at his track record, and even at least the Nets could use an excuse. You're basically paying Durant and half of Harden. Everything was in place for the Sixers to finally get out of the Eastern Conference title, and they were the favorites. And it's just a bigger indictment is, look at what Ty Lue did. Without Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers come back and win 4 straight against the best team in the league. And so the only thing that switched out was the head coach, and they did it with an inferior team without Kawhi Leonard. So that just makes it a bigger indictment on Doc Rivers. It's just his track record is not good, and you're really feeling this if you're a Sixers. So it's going to be interesting, but I think Phoenix to win it. I put money on them, obviously, and
obviously.
I think they're going to win the title.
So we should all just, like, know that for sure, Mike. I put money on them, obviously. I like it. All right, sir, I appreciate your strong sentiments. All Thanks right. so much. I put money on them, obviously. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. We're going to hear from Trae Young as well as Kevin Huerter, who was the star of the show in game number 7. John Collins talking about Kevin and how far he's come. So I always love the stories that come out of these games. I'm not sure what to do about Doc Rivers. I mean, I go back and forth. I don't think that they should make another change, because then you're looking at 3 head coaches in 3 years, and constant change equals constant losing. Do I think he bears some of the responsibility? Absolutely. But no, I think it's as cut and dried as, oh, look what Ty Lue did with his guys. No, I don't think it's that easy either. What did Paul George tell us after last year's bubble experiment? He said that their chemistry wasn't right, that they needed another year to get comfortable. So even he was talking about how they didn't have enough time as a group to gel. And at the time, of course, a lot of people laughed and scoffed at that. But if that's the case, then does Ty Lue get credit for the fact that their chemistry all fell into place? So it's not so simple as they lost a game 7 with Doc Rivers and he must be the reason why. I mean, he has been such a champion for Ben Simmons all year. He really has been. And I thought Ben thrived just doing what Ben does. Ultimately, it does appear as though mentally there were times when Ben he shrunk back from the moment. I mean, not taking that dunk or a layup or whatever in the late stages of fourth quarter against Atlanta on Sunday night, and the free throw shooting, no doubt that was playing games with his head as well. That's something he's going to have to fight through on his own, potentially with a sports psychologist, someone that can kind of help him get through that. Now, is your leadership important there? Yes. Does Doc Rivers, again, ultimately have the buck stop with him? Sure. But I don't know what you accomplish by starting all over again with another head coach, especially when there are 7 openings right now in the NBA. Could be more. You've got a lot of competition for the best and the brightest, the big names, the next guys to come along. 855-212-4227. Thanks so much for joining us. Was the Nets season a failure, or was it just a precursor setting them up for the future? Or as Steve Nash said, was it just too much to overcome the injuries, the obstacles?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Trey gets it way out to Kevin Huerter with 8. Kevin guarded by Curry again. Kevin drives on Curry. Kevin spins into the lane, throws up the right-hander, and it's good again by Kevin Huerter. He's got 24, and the Hawks lead by 2, 88-86.
My better games have been games where I got my mid-range game going and was aggressive, trying to get to that 15 feet, the 10-foot mark, and especially with a smaller defender guarding me tonight, and just trying to get to my spots and elevate and make shots.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
The only Atlanta starter that did not end up in double figures, Bojan Bogdanović, an atypically poor shooting night for him. And he only played 21 minutes. Instead, off the bench, Gallinari, who had 17 points. And really, the Hawks bench, not all that deep either. The 76ers, they tried a bunch of different lineups and combinations, but ultimately, the shrinking violet that was Ben Simmons in games 4, 5, 6, and 7, no buckets in the fourth quarter. You can only ask Joel Embiid to do so much, and he did. 31 points, 11 rebounds, few assists in there, though he was the main culprit with the turnovers, 8 of them, but also draws the yeoman's share of the attention from the Hawks defense. Tobias Harris did have a double-double, but the way the 76ers coughed away multiple opportunities in the series and fumbled away game number 7, man, that was going to sting for quite a while. As for Kevin Huerter, Steve Holman with the call on the Hawks radio network, a career playoff high for him with 27 points, also 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal, just a single turnover. You hear what he talks about with the rhythm and the groove of his mid-range jumper, and John Collins, one of his teammates, raving about Huerter's growth over his 3 years in the league.
Firstly, it's that confidence that he's playing with now. I feel like we've all seen the skill set that he possesses and how he plays the game, you know, mentally, cerebrally. But it's really all about confidence for Kev, and I've really seen that grow over the past couple of years, as well as his defensive intensity and just his ability to defend. I feel like he's taking that challenge personally, and we all, you know, definitely appreciate when Kevin's locked in on both ends. He can do stuff like that, like he did tonight.
I kind of feel like Kevin's ascension and getting more of the attention with the Hawks, it reminds me a bit of Tyler Hero with the Miami Heat a year ago, and just the way that he stepped into that role and did whatever was necessary for his team and was a very valuable part of them getting not just to Eastern Conference Finals, but to the NBA Finals as the, wait for it, 5 seed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Trae Young finished with 21 points, 10 assists. He did some push-ups. He waved to the crowd. He blew some kisses. Not a great shooting performance from him, but man, has he ascended to the role of superstar so far in this postseason?
I mean, shots weren't going tonight, but my teammates showed up and made plays. And so for me, I just try to find them. I try to find Clint, find JC, Kev. And then when it was the fourth quarter, I tried to lock in and make some plays for my team down the stretch because they were making plays for me throughout the whole game. So I just wanted to come through in the end and help them out a little bit. I know I didn't shoot the ball great today, but they definitely made plays, and it was a total team effort tonight.
Hawks and Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. We haven't even gotten to Devin Booker's first ever triple-double in his first ever Conference Finals game. So we'll do that at the bottom of the hour. Man, talk about superstar power. And as much as you can look at this NBA postseason, this Final Four, and say, okay, the top seeds are both gone for the first time since 1994. Neither one reaches the Conference Finals. There's no LeBron. There's no, right now, there's no Kawhi Leonard. Chris Paul is sidelined. Though he was available on FaceTime following game one. No more Donovan Mitchell. No more Rudy Gobert. Yes, you have the two-time MVP in Giannis, but you don't have Kevin Durant or James Harden or Kyrie Irving. No Joel Embiid, who was an MVP finalist. And speaking of the MVP, no more Nikola Jokic, right? The Denver Nuggets were out. So there's a lot of star power that is now on summer vacation. And yet I think you can find some really intriguing storylines, especially if Paul George continues to play the way that he has been over the last few games. No more playoff P. No more. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Chris is listening in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, A-Law Radio? I'm a first-time caller. I believe, cool. You know, I've been listening to your show for a long time.
Awesome.
And, just give me something to marinate on overnight while I'm at work.
Good.
I was just calling in about two things. Of course, you know, I'm from Georgia, so I want to talk about my Hawks. I'm aesthetic. But also about the Nets, I mean, from the very jump, of the playoffs, I mean, the first round, I was just getting like vibes of the big three in Miami in that first year. I mean, okay, especially with the injuries and all, mm-hmm. and that they only played 8 full games together. Is again, I was just getting Miami vibes, and that like this team is, if they don't make it all the way, that it's not a knock on them, because even Miami Heat didn't make it all the way in the first year.
And they went to the NBA Finals, though.
True, that is true. Yes, that's true. And then that's why I wasn't going to rag on them too much.
it's
too
nice
much
of you.
And I hope that no analyst or anybody does either, like, you know, nobody from TNT does. But now going back to Philly, though, being a one seed and having such a great coach under their wing, leading them at the helm, that was a disappointment. I think that was the bigger disappointment than the Nets.
Mm. Oh, I agree. I just wonder how many people will jump on board with, hey, the Nets built this team. They had Kyrie and KD a year ago. They waited out the injuries. They go and they get James Harden, even trading away a promising young player in Caris LeVert. Then, let's not forget, Chris, they bring in Blake Griffin. They bring in DeAndre Jordan. They essentially add a bunch of other pieces, role players that they feel like can fill out not only that locker room, but give them the veteran experience and the leadership. And then they rally for that game 5 win. Really impressive. Give them and KD a ton of credit. They have game 7 on their own court and they don't capitalize. I mean, they deserve some criticism.
But in comparison to the 76ers, though, I just don't see it as exactly on the same level. Like, I mean, because again, the 76ers, the knock against my Atlanta Hawks the entire series, and even at the very beginning against the New York Knicks, was that this team is so inexperienced. They're going to fold and they're going to fold under pressure, things like that. And the thing is that as one of the hosts on another radio show here in Atlanta, and many pointed out, is that three of their wins came on the road. Mm-hmm. They won in Philly three times. And so they're true, legit road warriors. So for them, against the, and again, this is all coming against the number one seed,
yep,
with a head coach, which is supposed to have all this amazing championship pedigree, even though he's only won one title. And like the man in Miami was talking about earlier, is that his track record just proves that he's just maybe above average. He's an above average coach. That's it. So,
yeah, I mean, I agree with you about Philadelphia being a far greater failure. I don't think there's any debate about this being a failed season. As for the Hawks, I would say they learned a lot and gained a lot of confidence on the road in New York, right? So to play that series first, even though the Knicks weren't a legit title contender, but the way that they played, the fact that they had to go into Madison Square Garden and face what was a hostile crowd and everything that Trae Young did in that series. And they're a team that definitely has thrived in late game situations with comebacks. And so, yes, they're young. In fact, one of the youngest, along with the Suns. But they're a team that I think, having learned from the Knicks experience, you can kind of see that against Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, sir. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having my call.
Let's quick work in Dave in New Jersey. Dave, welcome to After Hours.
How you doing, Amy? I just started a job. I get off work at 3 a.m., so I get to listen to you all the time. So
oh,
that's
cool.
Good now.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted to say real quick, I bet on the Bucks at 9-1. I got them to win the championship, and I almost ripped up the ticket when they were down 2-0.
Ha ha.
But as I said, in the unlikely event they come back, and I guess the unlikely happens, which is good.
I mean, it's really impressive that they even forced a game seven, much less win it in overtime. I think they deserve all kinds of credit. I mean, I ripped them to shreds after game number five, and they deserved all of the criticism, but they showed me heart and fight and toughness in forcing a game seven and then winning it overtime. Although, man, I'm telling you, with that shot went up with Kevin Durant, it did seem like the series was done right then.
But my point is, I just want to say, I think Ben Simmons is the most overrated player in team sports right now. I think he feasts off weaker opponents, and I think when the competition gets tough, he lacks the confidence, and I think he lacks the skills to be like a dominant player against good players.
So who rates him, just out of curiosity? What are you talking about when you say overrated?
Well, I think everybody considers him a superstar.
He's an all-star. I wouldn't say he's a superstar.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't even I wouldn't even call him like a top 15 player right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't do much with rankings, so I have no idea how many people do think he's in the top 5 or top 15, excuse me, but he is an all-star. I mean, he did make the all-star game, and this was it was a tough series for him. He fell flat on his face, but the best athletes are going to have moments like these. They're going to have abject failures, and I am interested to see what he does moving forward because, you know, he's still owed roughly $140 million over 4 years. So whether it's Philadelphia or somebody else, he's going to be on a roster and somebody's going to pay him. So he's going to have time to make up for this. No, it's going to haunt him. I mean, any athlete, if they're worth their weight, you know, if they're worth their salt, if they're worth anything, it's going to take an experience like this and be motivated to make sure it never happens again.
Yeah, but it was Doc Rivers, I think, said in his post-game press conference, he's afraid to shoot. And, I mean, I think, you know, it's like, you know, John Madden always said, you know, big players play big in big games. I think, you know, he just seems like he wants to shrink when the moment gets big.
Well, I doubt he wants to. I don't think he wants to, but yes, we have seen that. That's not a permanent quality, though, Dave. That's mental, right? That's psychological. It's certainly something that he can address. He's only 24 years old, right? So here we are killing him. It feels like he's been around forever, but he's still a relatively young guy. So to me, that's not something that can't be addressed and fixed.
Yeah. Well, as a Celtics fan, I hope not. But
well, who knows? Philadelphia may not keep him, and we'll see. Thanks for your phone call, Dave. Glad to have you with us. 855-212-4227. Yeah, does it surprise you to know that Simmons is only 24 years old? None of this stuff is permanent, unless, of course, he can't get past it. But he's going to have all the tools and all the resources available to him to help him figure out what went wrong, why he shrunk back from the moment as opposed to seizing the day, carpe diem. And again, at that age, with the amount of money that he's still going to get paid, you would think there's going to be a team that's going to do its darndest to try to make sure that this doesn't happen again because somebody's going to be paying him next year. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got our Man Crush Monday poll up. I'm excited to see who it is that you choose as your hashtag MCM. We haven't even talked about Devin Booker and the Suns yet. Let's do that straight ahead. Plus, the save of the weekend. It wasn't even a goalie.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Booker, a three-pointer on the way. Shazam! Booker. 98-95, Suns lead. Booker stops, 15-footer on the way. Swish! Good. And the Suns lead it, 103-95. Rondo hands it back to Reggie Jackson. Jackson on the drive. Pass out front. Bridges picks it off. Two on one. Bridges to Booker, to Bridges. Wham! Bam! Slam! Oh, brother! The ball is inbounded and lost. Cam Johnson with the steal. Suns win! Suns win! Suns win! Game number one of the Western Conference Finals, and the Suns win it! The final score, Suns 120, Los Angeles Clippers 114.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
The great Al McCoy with the play-by-play on the Suns Radio Network. And I bet you were like me, after the Clippers and Suns managed just 21 points each in the first quarter, it looked like offense might be harder to come by. By the time they finished, though, a combined 234 points, and the Suns shot 55% from the floor, while the Clippers made 20 of their 47 threes. The Clippers took 47 threes. What? That's nuts. Do you know that's more than half of their shot, like their total shots in this game, were from beyond the three-point line? Wow. Although I guess if you're going to make them at roughly 43%, well, then that's probably a pretty good bet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get back to you on the phones, 855-212-4227. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, plus our Facebook page. You can weigh in and choose your Man Crush Monday as we start off another work week. Top of the hour, we're going to spend some time talking about John Rahm's first U.S. Open victory and what happened to the rest of the field that was thick with stars until they hit the back nine. So Matt Adams of the Golf Channel will join us at the top of the hour. All right, let's talk Devin Booker, though, because he is one of our candidates for MCM. Hashtag Man Crush Monday. His first triple-double in his first conference finals game. 40 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. Wowzers. Talk about superstar. He definitely has claimed, well, he's earned and claimed that title.
I thought when we started playing fast, he started to attack and get to the paint. Everything opened up for us, and then he hit some shots. But, you know, that's who Book is. He's been waiting for this moment. These moments for a long, long time. So maybe that's the Kobe part of it and the Chris part.
He's a beast, and we understand that. So just go look at the tape and look at the film and just kind of go from there. But, you know, he did a good job of attacking. You know, we try to double team. We try to blitz. We try to fire. He took advantage of a lot of it. So, you know, he had 11 assists today, so probably a career high in that regard. So, you know, we'll watch the film. We'll watch the tape, and we'll be ready to go for game two.
40 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. You heard Ty Lue after Monty Williams talking about Devin Booker. Now he, as he always does, was talking about Chris Paul following the game and how they FaceTimed him as soon as this one was in the books.
We put him on FaceTime. He's our leader. You know, we lean on him for a lot. And we know how disappointed he is and frustrated he is. He couldn't be out here for game one in the Western Conference Finals, especially knowing his past history around this time.
Still no word if Chris Paul himself actually tested positive for the virus or if he was around someone who did, and this is protocols, but reportedly he's been vaccinated. There's a friend of his who, I think it was Matt Barnes, who was making the rounds this weekend, who said Chris has been vaccinated. He told people he's been vaccinated. So that would mean that the protocols wouldn't be as extensive. But we still have no word when CP3 is going to be available, only that he was not allowed to play in the opener. And we also know Kawhi Leonard is not in Phoenix, so we wouldn't see him before game three. There's still no definitive word. There's reports out there that he's torn his ACL, but nothing's been confirmed by Ty Lue or the Clippers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We got to do one more here. Well, let's see. You know what? Let's take our calls because I told you that I would. And then we'll see what else we can squeeze in before the top of the hour. Tim is in D.C. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy.
Hey.
It was hard to watch the 76ers without Danny Green. They just didn't have much shooting. I think that was their end-all, and I think Kyrie Irving was the end-all for the Nets. I think if you add those two players back into the mix, we're talking about different outcomes.
And yet that's sports, right?
Yes.
I don't know that I agree with you necessarily, though, about the Sixers, Tim, just because they had a 26-point lead in Game 5 on their own court, and they blew it. A 22-point lead starting the fourth quarter alone, and they blew it. They did all of that without Danny Green. Now, does he bring some moxie as a former NBA champion in both conferences? Yes, he does. But they were good enough to build big leads in both Games 4 and 5 and lost both of them. They were good enough to force a Game 7 by playing in hostile territory in Atlanta. So I don't think that maybe it changes the series, but I don't think you can point to that and say it was the factor, the number one factor. Again, twice they blew large leads to the Hawks. The series would have been over if they had protected those leads in Games 4 and in Games 5. All right, let's talk to Lee, who's in Brooklyn. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how are you, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
I was on speaker. Hey, Amy, nice to talk to you. I love your voice. I think I love all of the players. They work hard for us. They do a good job. You can't blame Doc Rivers and things like that. Atlanta came out. They both was nervous. These teams never won championships, so they were super nervous. These guys work hard. They played super hard, and they gave us a great season, Philadelphia, along with Utah. But as far as the team that won it, they persevered and just kept on trying to win. And they happened to hit baskets when the other team wasn't hitting baskets. And I agree with you about the fact that you can't throw nobody underneath the bus. I mean, look at Budenholzer now, who once was with, I think, Atlanta, and now he's over there with Milwaukee, and they're going to the conference finals. So sometimes it's product placement. As well.
I mean, the Sixers had, 16 turnovers in this game on their own court. I may not think it's one person's fault. I think there's plenty of blame to go around, but it's definitely a failure for Philadelphia. Again, two big leads they coughed up late in games that they could have slammed the door in the series. And game 7 on your own court, you turn the ball over 16 times, including your MVP with 8 turnovers.
That's nervousness too.
Well, I get it, but everybody's facing the same pressure, Lee. If you're going to win a championship, you got to get over that.
100%. But you know what? They're not ready, and teams that are ready this year are going to make it to the finals.
How many more years do the Sixers need to be ready?
I would give it at least 4. Because it took Jordan 6 years to win the championship, right? It took him about 6 years. You said Ben Simmons is only, 24? You made that very knowledgeable to people because I didn't even know he was 24.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time already.
He's short there. You got a lot of young kids. You got Tobias on there. You got Seth Curry. Even though he's been in the league, he's moved around a lot. But you got a lot of young people that need to stick together and learn how to play with each other before they just want to run out and put a team together and just make it a championship team. There's no LeBron James or Michael Jordan on that team.
Okay, so you got one of the MVP finalists on the team. So I don't know that I'm going to go that far, Lee. I appreciate your phone call in Brooklyn. This group, this core has been together now for a couple of years. So Tobias Harris got traded in, was it last year? It was 2 years ago, right, that he got traded in because he got the contract last year. And then Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, they've been sticking with him. I know they changed coaches, but they were the top seed this year. We're not talking about a team that surprised people. They won the Eastern Conference this season and held off a charge from the Nets. So this is a failure for Philadelphia.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.